Derek Hall joins us on Sports Byline. He's the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I ran across a story about Derek's life and some of the challenges he faces and has faced, and also some of the things he does as being the head of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'll give you a quote from the owner of the Diamondbacks, Ken Kendrick. He says, "Derek just has a gift, and that gift includes he personally answers every email, every tweet he receives from fans. He insists there is no barriers between players and fans in spring training." What are the roots of you having that type of understanding about the fan, Derek?
Thanks, Ron. No, that's very nice. And I really credit my staff, everybody else around me, and more so my upbringing in the Dodger organization, learning under Peter O'Malley, who had a very good knack for taking care of the fans and the employees, and learned at a very young age in my career that we're not here if it isn't for the fans. And, of course, we can't do what we do every day if we don't have employees that aren't motivated and happy and proud to wear the logo and brand every day.
You mentioned about Peter O'Malley and the Dodger family, and they were well known for that, but we have moved to a different era. What is the difference in maybe the attitude and the philosophy about professional sports and the relationship with the fan today?
Well, we need to make sure we get back to the way it was. So much is changing, and of course, kids today, and that's really our bread and butter. We have to make sure we make fans for life at a very young age. They have so many options now, and so for us, we need to connect in different ways, whether we're doing it electronically or through innovation and IT technology, but more so right here in person. We're fortunate enough to have both spring training and our regular season games played in the same market, so we can connect with our fans all year long. And it really does start at spring training, where we encourage and really demand that our players take time after workouts to go sign every autograph, take every picture. And that's where the relationships are built, and that's where the loyalty comes from the fans. But it's so easy, and it's such a simple part of why we love the game. And I can remember growing up and getting my autographs at Dodger Stadium as a kid, and I'll never forget those days. And had I been snubbed or turned away by players, I would have had a bad taste in my mouth. I think we had a few years where we got away from that, and our players were a little too big for the game and for our fans, and I certainly don't see that today. And we're lucky that we have a great group of kids that play here in the Diamondbacks uniform. They understand the importance of interacting with the fans, and they also understand their social responsibility out in the community.
It's awful hard for the professional athlete today. Having a national show like this, Derek, I have a chance to talk to the fans, and they're, saying, well, they're getting paid all this money. But what they don't understand is that these guys are getting criticized on a day-to-day basis. They're being evaluated on a day-to-day basis as to whether they have a job or not. And I've often said that I don't think that you'd like to be interrupted while you're trying to do your job in your office as well, because a lot of them will complain, well, they don't sign this autograph or that autograph. What's the disconnect that you find between the fans and today's professional athlete?
Well, I think you're exactly right, Ron. I think you hit it on the head. And these guys have such a very long season and a very long day that they're exhausted, and it gets grueling. And they come back from a 10 or 11 game road trip, and they start right up with a 10 game homestand. And here we are again, encouraging them to be with the fans and to take time to interact with them. And I'm fortunate too that I have a manager in Kirk Gibson who, I think, he realizes today that he was not that type of player and he missed out on something. And he's telling the players now, don't do that. Part of the big game here is to enjoy the fans. Take it in. I wish I had. And they really listen to him, and they've learned from him. We have a coaching staff that the players are going to listen to. It really starts at the top with leadership. But when you have Alan Trammell as your bench coach, and Charles Nagy as your pitching coach, and Don Baylor as your hitting coach, and Matt Williams as your third base coach, and Eric Young as your first base coach, and you look at the back of those baseball cards and look at the credentials and the numbers, you say, wow, these are guys that have been there. I better listen to. So it's nice to have them as role models and mentors, saying, to do it perfectly, here's what you need to do. We weren't exactly perfect, but you have an opportunity. And I think the guys now have embraced that. And for me to hear in the offseason that our players take time to go visit hospitals and children's hospitals and go room to room, not with a camera over their shoulder, but because it's the right thing to do, and not even letting anyone know, that just makes me very proud. That's rewarding as can be.
One of the things that has always bothered me about the evolution of baseball and professional sports, but since we're talking baseball, and you were in the Dodger organization, you know as well as I do that players used to come up through an organization, so they learned the way the Dodgers did it. They learned the way the Reds did it. But because of the movement of athletes today and players today, it doesn't seem like that exists, and you don't have the mentoring that goes along, so players learn that's the way to do it. Am I correct in that observation in your mind?
Absolutely. You know, big part of why the game was such a success for so many years and why people were so rooted with the team was the fact that they knew each and every opening day who was going to be on that on the opening day lineup, and they saw those players year after year. Free agency did change that quite a bit. I think the way the game has gone and the way that we are creating much more of a level playing field and better parity, you are going to start to see players stay with the same team and the same roster for years to come, and we have to do it creatively. Teams like ourselves and our market size, we need to make sure that we draft properly, scout properly, that we develop from within and then retain those players creatively by keeping them under contract through their arbitration years and then their early part of their free agency years. And that way we are able to keep guys here for a good 6-7 years and our fans can really relate to them. Fortunately, we've been that way now with guys like Miguel Montero, Justin Upton, Chris Young, Stephen Drew. These are names that people are used to seeing in a D-back uniform. We just have to make sure we continue that. And if you do lose one or two of those, you have a farmhand that's able to come up that your fans have been excited about seeing, like a Paul Goldschmidt, and you hope that he can then just carry the torch from there.
I understand one of your other talents is your ability to imitate others. And John Miller is a good friend of mine, and I've had him sitting here in the studio when he does the Vin Scully, of course. And I understand you do Vin as well, so I've got to hear your version of Vin Scully, please.
Oh boy, no, I haven't done Vin in a long time. That was back in the days when I was with the Dodgers, and you know, it's almost insulting to do Vin Scully because he is the king, in my opinion. And I used to say he was my only employee that could have fired me if he wanted to. That's who Scully is. But I did do so many back there. I had people that most wouldn't know, but I had our traveling secretary, for example, Ron, and I would call down to the front desk and say that my room wasn't good enough, sounding like him, and they would panic and have me come down and give me a suite without our traveling secretary know. Or I would do Manny Mota at times and have the players in stitches. But it is fun to do voices. There's a few around here that I do as well, and that way you can pull off some pranks too.
One of the things that I think is good about sports is it allows people to have, I think, a discipline when they have to face personal challenges. And you faced a great personal challenge in 2011 when you were diagnosed with prostate cancer, and just as the team was battling for a division title. But you immediately went public with that diagnosis. Tell everybody why.
Yeah, I did. I felt, for me and in my position and really being a public figure, that I saw it as an opportunity, not as a burden. If I could get out there and let people know my story, being diagnosed with cancer at such a young age, and letting others know that they can get out there and hopefully find it early like I did as well, it could be treated. And, you know, I still have to watch closely. I did learn in September that I was diagnosed with it, with prostate cancer, and put off my treatment until after the season was over and after the postseason. So I went in November, had surgery, and just had a PSA test recently that showed that it is non-detectable. Knock on wood, every 3 months for the next 3 years, it'll stay just the same, but always going to have to watch it. I did have marginal escape of the cancer, so we're going to have to keep a close watch on it. But it's something, Ron, that I thought I needed to get out there and hopefully educate and drive awareness. And the simple fact that I now hear from other men who say, thank you, now I'm going to go get tested, or thank you for telling me that I was tested and I have it, or thank you for telling me that I don't have it. And then for me to be able to coach people through, those that have been diagnosed as well, it's been rewarding for me, and it's something that I see as a great opportunity and honor to be able to do.
You also emailed the employees of the D-backs, and your explanation was a simple one, because they are family, and a few days later they did something for you. Tell everybody what that was.
They sure did, and my employees are our family. This is a special place. I think we have the best work culture of any sports team. I had come back from giving a speech on a Friday morning, and our assistant PR director asked me to go upstairs to do an interview. I should have known better, because I've never done an interview on the suite level, and walked up there, and in the big common area, all of our employees were there, and they had red wristbands that said D Hall, D-backs, and it was a very emotional moment. And everyone wore them until I said, let's take them off. And we have taken them off until we need them on again. Hopefully we don't. But that's the type of place we are. We've won Best Places to Work 6 years in a row here. We were named with the United Nations Positive Peace Award, the first time ever given to a sports team to be named the most positive sports team globally in the entire world. So that says a lot about our employees. It says a lot about our fans and our corporate partners. This is a special place, and I'm just fortunate enough and lucky enough to work here every day.
We only have a minute left, but what is it about sports that really has kept you engaged? I mean, I know what it is I like about it, but from your perspective, what is it, Derek?
Well, I think it's the competitiveness, first of all. I'm very competitive, but more importantly, it's something that I've always loved, and I knew I wasn't good enough to play, but I wanted to be involved with. And if you really, truly love something that you do, you'll never feel like you work a day in your life, and that's how I feel. And for me, it's a passion. It's the interaction with the fans. It's displaying a brand and putting on a great show with the best fan experience each and every night, and walk away each night thinking we did it right and feel proud.
Well, Derek, I want to thank you very much for taking the time. It's a great story, but I think that the fans around the country and around the world, I wanted them to hear from somebody that is actually at the top of an organization about a philosophy that exists, and hopefully it's going to find its way around the rest of sports and all of sports, because I think staying connected to the fans, listening to the fans, and giving them an opportunity to stay connected, because it is an emotional attachment that I think is very, very important. And thank you for sharing the story with us. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, Derek, and thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to being on with you soon.
Take care. Derek Hall with us on Sports Byline USA. Again, he is the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and what a great job they have done with their fans down in the Valley of the Sun. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.